to welcome everyone here tonight. By more of a surprise to me than it was to anyone else, I guess. The pastor called me Monday night and asked if I would bring a small lesson. I said, no problem. In the back of my mind, I thought, you know, why me? Why not someone else? And that was probably the wrong spirit to have in the beginning, but, you know, the Lord does things for a reason, and I believe it's just to draw me closer to Him. Really pray for our pastor. He, you know, the death of anyone close to you is always a hard time, especially a parent. I have both of my parents, and I can't fathom losing them. I know a lot of you have lost your parents, have lost children. I've lost all my grandparents. I've lost. We had a miscarriage that was difficult. But I ask you just to pray for him in a special way. And that's kind of the topic that the Lord impressed on me. I guess a couple topics. One is always living for God, and to die is gain. I kind of tied that into it. If you would turn your Bibles tonight to Philippians 1. I remember this was Brother Dean Smith's, I think it was his favorite book in the Bible. And after I read verses, I always think back to him. In Philippians 1, verse 20, we're going to read 20 through 27. Paul says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance in joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Now, you can believe that all people are going to die someday, and you'd be right. You can believe that an exception is going to be made in your case, but that's simply not so. You know, God will never give us more than we can handle as Christians. We may grieve tremendously for a time, but His grace is sufficient. To die is gain does not mean that a Christian should desire death because he hates life. Many of God's men, they hit low points where they ask God to take their lives. I have four examples. The first one is Moses in Numbers 11. Numbers 11, verse 35. Numbers 11, verse 15, I'm sorry. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. If we back up to verse 12, he says, have I conceived all this people? Have I gotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth a suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh, that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. So he'd rather die. He didn't know what to do. In 1 Kings, Elijah, 1 Kings 19, verse 4, he says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Two more, one in Jeremiah 20. Jeremiah 20, and we'll read four verses, starting with verse 14. Jeremiah 20, verse 14. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not. And let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontide, because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. Jonah, verse 4. This is probably the most popular one that I know of. Jonah, verse 4. Jonah, chapter 4. Verses 3 and 8. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Verse 8, and it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a venomous east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Now, when Paul said, to die is gain, I truly believe he was saying that if God were to call him to heaven, if he would have got into an accident, had a heart attack, anything that would send him to the grave, that suited him just fine, because he knew he would be with the Lord. Again, to die is gain does not mean that a Christian should not grieve over the death of loved ones. Scripture doesn't condemn grieving. It tells us to weep with those who weep. In Romans chapter 12, Romans 12, verse 15. says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." Another great example is Jesus wept with Mary and Martha at Lazarus' tomb, even though he knew he was about to raise him from the dead. In John 11, verse 32, John 11:32 through 35, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept." Now that was just a couple of examples of what to die is gain doesn't mean. To die is gain does mean that a Christian should view death as a means of praising God, to lift up God, to exalt him. For a believer, at the time of death, should be a time of bearing witness to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians should die well. To die as gain means that a Christian's death leads to the return on his or her investment. Like Brother Brad's devotion last Sunday morning, there's no better investment than investment in Jesus Christ. There's nothing on earth that's better. I invest a lot of our money in guns and motorcycles, and you can invest it in whatever you invest it in, but when you die, you know, none of those things are going to go with you. It's better to have an investment, most of your investment, in God. The benefits of eternal glory with him in heaven. Paul had counted everything else as loss for the sake of Christ. In Philippians 3, verse 7 and 8, he says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Paul had invested his entire life in the goal of knowing and serving Christ. I believe he was looking forward to that day when he would stand in front of our Lord and hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We are called to strive forward. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That's just another word for investment right there. You know, what you put in the Lord, you're definitely going to reap the benefits. You know, death as a child of God will only bring you eternal rewards. Death opens up the door for us to receive the promised rich returns on all we have invested for Christ. To die is gain means that a Christian's death frees him from earthly labors, trials, temptations. That's not a bad thing. This body, this flesh that we carry around every day, it holds us prisoner to many temptations and weaknesses. But death sets us free. Death means laying down the burdens and concerns of our labors for Christ here on earth and to join Him in that place where there will be no more death, no mourning, no crying, and no pain. And we read that in Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 4. It says, "And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." To die is gain means that at death, a Christian immediately goes to be with the Lord. Now, there are many false doctrines out there that teach otherwise. There's a doctrine of so-called soul sleep, where they believe that when you die, your soul just sleeps in the grave or wherever you're at until Jesus comes back. There's a doctrine of annihilation, which means that you just cease to be, like when a tree dies or an animal dies, and there'll just be no more end of you. There's a doctrine of reincarnation, where you come back as an object, an animal, another person. Basically, your life is just recycled. There's a doctrine of purgatory, where you are sent to a place and you get a second chance. You get a second chance on knowing the Lord, which we know is false. In Philippians 1, go back there for a minute. Philippians 1, 23 through 24, I'll read this again. "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." In 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So we're all going to appear someday before Christ. You know, I truly believe for a true child of God, to die is gain. Now that's what I have for a lesson tonight. And I contemplated after this short lesson I wondered if there would be any men that would stand up and give a testimony of how God has been gracious to you during the death of a loved one, so that people might see God lifted up and just praise Him. So if there's any men that would want to stand up and give an account to God being with you and helping you during those times, go ahead. Called me all the way down there, found the number, didn't even know where we were at.